Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What conversations are you having with your family and friends, maybe coworkers? I hope you're seeing your coworkers. Everything that's happening in our nation this week. And it's this weird mix, this weird blend of the virus, and of course, the peaceful protests, but also the looters, the violence, the curfews, the conversation that's taking place. And it's so prevalent in the sports world as well. It's not just an out there issue. And while I've talked about it, you know, on a limited basis, and have seen your tweets and your Facebook posts of the last few days, I felt like this was a really good way to kind of springboard into conversation, because that's what we saw all day Wednesday. And being willing to jump into the arena and have a conversation, even a tough conversation, that to me, it requires courage sometimes. Aren't we all afraid of saying the wrong thing? I know I am. Well, afraid's maybe too strong of a word, but there are times when I'm cautious and I worry about saying the wrong thing and offending people. And certainly on my radio show, I'm very careful. I try to think about and plot out what I want to say, though doesn't always come out the way I intended. But I think that the desire to not offend people, but to try to understand where they're coming from and communicate where you're coming from, is so important. And to me, it's all about respect. If someone says something to me in a personal conversation that's insensitive or that I think is even borderline offensive, I first consider it if they're coming across as respectful. Because some people unintentionally say dumb crap. I mean, let's just be honest. But what also happens is they've not walked a mile in your shoes, so they don't get it. And there's a lot of that happening, I think, around this conversation of racism, of prejudice, of discrimination, of privilege. There was a time in my life when the idea of white privilege, and people would say it to me sometimes, oh, you have white privilege, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I would get so defensive. I honestly wasn't planning on sharing this with you, but I will now, because it's been a major shift in my own thinking. It's probably up until maybe 7-8 years ago. So I was already here. And there were a few people said it to me on social media, and I was incensed over it. What do you know about my privilege? I grew up poor with a single mom, partly in a trailer park. We've never had money. What do you mean privilege? And then I would talk about how I'm a female in a male-dominated industry that's been discriminated against so many times that I could write a book about it. What's that have to do with privilege, right? My dad's a drug addict. What does that have to do with privilege? And I would miss the mark sometimes because I was focused on whatever privilege meant in my mind, and I wasn't putting myself in someone else's shoes. Now, I still don't know that my life was all that privileged, but I do know and I do understand now that what African Americans are saying, and this also has to do with my work in Cuba and spending time with the Latino community, what I do understand is that whether I ask for it or not, whether I even understand it or not. Very often white people are looked at differently than those with darker skin. That's the idea of privilege. Again, it's not something that was handed to me. It's not like a silver spoon in my mouth. That's not what people were saying. What they're saying is you encounter a different type of, how do I want to say this? You don't encounter the type of scrutiny, criticism, lack of opportunities, the way that you might be racially profiled. None of those things ever happen to you because you're white. Again, it's not something I asked for. I didn't win a lottery and get born to Caucasian parents. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. Just like there's nothing that people can do about the color of their skin. Brown, black, purple, yellow, green, rainbow. We are born who we are. And so my whole point in telling you that is that I had to kind of understand. It was about listening to people and having them explain to me that no, it's not a privilege about where you grew up or the money that you had or a job that was handed to you. That's not what people are saying. They're not saying you didn't work as hard as everyone else or that you don't deserve what you have. What they're saying is because you're white, there's a type of discrimination you've never faced and you'll never understand. And it took me a while to get there, to the point where I could not get defensive when someone say to me, you have white privilege. And I still don't like the term, but whatever. The point that was being made was a valid one, and it took me a while to get it. I wouldn't have gotten it if not for the conversations. So something that used to offend me and come across as just rude, and you have no idea what I've been through in my life. Yeah, I got to the point where that's not at all what they're saying. And I kind of feel that with Drew Brees and the resistance he's getting back. Yes, it's his right to stand for the flag and to express why he does it. But for him to not also understand that there are people who feel just as strongly as he does on the other side. Now, he says, you know, I support my teammates. But to go on the point about the military, which is what he's done in the past, and to not get what Malcolm Jenkins is saying, what others are saying on his own teammate, Michael Thomas, it has nothing to do with the military. I don't think that Drew I don't think he's an offensive person by nature. I don't think he's racist. I don't think any of that. Prejudice. I don't think he discriminates. It was just a matter of not, it's just a point that he makes that comes across as completely missing the mark and being tone deaf. And I get it because I've been in that place before where someone would say something to me and I wouldn't really understand or try to understand what it was that they were saying because I got upset and felt like that was disrespectful. So conversation gets us to the point where we change our thinking. And that's certainly important for us to be able to understand what other people are saying, for us to be able to understand their perspectives and their backgrounds and their experiences. Are there a majority of people out there who can understand what I've been through? And I'm not saying my situation is the same. I'm just making analogy. If I don't tell people what it's like to be a female in a male-dominated industry and the discrimination and the harassment and how much harder I've had to work to get to where I am than most of my male counterparts, they won't get it. So I talk about it. Does it mean they understand it? No. But it's important for us to listen, especially those of us who haven't been in the situation where we've been racially profiled, where we've been treated differently because of the color of our skin. It's important for us to get there where we can say, you know what? I don't know what you've been through, but I want to know about it. I don't know what you've been through. I can't identify personally, but I'm willing to listen and to figure out what it is that we can do as a nation moving forward. And sometimes those conversations are hard, and sometimes they require introspection. And sometimes, in my case, it required me kind of having this light bulb go on after, you know, times of kind of struggling with this and getting upset about it and admitting that I was wrong. I mean, that's something that has to happen too in our conversations. So there's a lot to it. It doesn't happen overnight, obviously. But it's important to try. Even when people don't get what you're saying, it's important to try. And I appreciate those people who continued to talk to me, even when I didn't really understand it, when I would get defensive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love for you to call us up, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, which is named after the show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. A couple of quick comments from inside the sports world, and then we'll get back to your phone calls. I appreciate that Russell Wilson took today to come out and speak. So these are his first real public comments. His first conference call that he's done with reporters since everything happened with George Floyd and the ensuing protests and everything else that has happened since then. And so for Russell Wilson, who I always consider thoughtful and a guy that is careful with what he says, a guy who represents a lot of different communities and perspectives, but also has the benefit of having been inside an NFL locker room and hearing from other people around him. I mean, sometimes he's a little goofy, let's be honest, but I still appreciate what he has to say.
We all need to help. We all need to find our own ways of how we're going to love and how we're going to make a difference. And everybody may do it differently. You know, I don't know what everybody's going to do and how they're going to do it, but it's calling for people to understand what's really going on.
We all do it differently, right? We're not all the same. We're not all going to approach problem solving the same. We're not all going to have the same opinions or perspectives. And part of the issue is that we often bring to a conversation our past, our own defensiveness, our own opinions. And it's so hard for us to let those go, to leave them and then sit at the table with an open mind and without our own emotions and our own past experiences. That's really difficult for me to do because we are a product of everything that has happened to us and that we've gone through to this point in our lives, right? But to be able to listen to someone else, we have to recognize that they can be hard conversations and that's okay. And people can disagree with us and that's okay. And people can not like our opinions and that's okay. It's all okay. Actually, it's not all okay, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, it's hard to come into a conversation and leave your own preconceived ideas, but that's what's required, especially when you don't get it, especially when we don't get it. And I will come back to this too. Generalities, sweeping generalities are a major part of the problem. Not all police officers are corrupt and racist. I mean, come on. If you don't know that, you're just not paying attention. I used this analogy earlier in the week, but if you want to say all police officers are corrupt and racist, that's as bad as saying all Muslims are terrorists. I mean, it's just not true. You cannot group one color, one ethnicity, one people, one culture. You can't group them all into one big cauldron and say they're all this or they're all that or they're all this or they're all that, because it's just not true. We're people and we're all different. And so to stereotype, that's where prejudice comes from. To stereotype and to brand one people group or one color or one profession or the media, for instance. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Yes, there are liberal media with an agenda. But you know what? I'm part of the media. I'm not liberal and I don't have an agenda. So not all media think with the same brain. So it's dangerous to throw everybody in one people group or one profession into the same label, because it's just not true. Oh gosh, the open mind part, I think so often is the most difficult hurdle. If we can get past that part where we can leave our preconceived ideas and experiences and pretenses behind and we can actually have an open mind, it's not easy to do. I'm not telling you, you snap the fingers and boom, all of a sudden you can see the world from someone else's perspective and through someone else's eyes. But don't we need to try? I think we do. I think we have to try, because otherwise we're always going to be stuck exactly where we are. No, the world will never be perfect. Yes, there will always be racism. But for those of us who aren't racist, for those of us who don't discriminate based on color of skin or gender or ethnicity or background, for those of us who don't, we can be part of the solution. We can be part of the change. And the only way to do it is to talk, to yap away. I love yapping. I love talking. Let's hope that it's effective moving forward. All right. So I know I said a lot there. Thank you for listening. I'm going to get right back to your phone calls here, as well as some others from the world of sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Moore now is wide to the right side with a slot left for Russell, who goes under center. Now Lockett goes in motion. Russell play fake. Now he's going to throw down the middle. Got a man. Metcalf makes the catch diving. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks. What a play by the rookie DK Metcalf.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the midst of everything, I still miss football. Public service announcement. Amy still misses football and can't wait for it to come back. Now, we're 98 days away from the NFL season kicking off, so we still have time. But absence makes the heart grow fonder, and it's always this time of the year when I am missing football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. It wasn't just Russell Wilson speaking out and calling for conversation and calling for people to share and to make sure that they find a way to help. It doesn't have to be the same way, is what he said, but we have to find a way to help and to be part of the solution, not the problem. And Pete Carroll was also speaking out on Wednesday.
I'm non-racist person. You know, I don't act in that way in any of my actions is in my everyday life. Well, that's not enough. We have to be anti-racist. We have to go the step further. We have to go beyond and act and take the action. It's going to be a challenge for people.
It is. So I balk at the idea that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I don't necessarily agree that silence means compliance. I think well-spoken words, well-suited words, words to the right people, and social media is not part of that. I think you have to be careful where and how you speak, especially when it's something that is want to offend people. So you need to be careful and sensitive and respectful with your words. But I do believe that it's up to each of us to find some way to affect change in our own sphere of influence. Mine is different than yours. So having a national radio show, my sphere of influence is a little different, but you have neighbors, you have family, you have friends, you have coworkers. Pete Carroll, part of the Flying Coach podcast on the Ringer. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Kevin, who's in Arkansas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, thank you. I appreciate your show. I listen to you pretty much well, Sunday through Wednesday night while I'm driving. So
thank you.
You keep me company.
Cool.
I wanted to just touch on, and I'm not going to try to speak for Drew Brees, but I do hold some of the same, I don't know if I'll call them beliefs, but some of the same reasoning but I want to expand on it a little bit. Sorry, I'm making a U-turn real quick.
Did a transformer blow up on the highway in front of you?
No, that was a bad accident, though.
Oh, no.
But no, here's the thing. Some people are able to compartmentalize.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to put it. So you can compartmentalize, and you can say that... hang on one second.
Oh, yeah, I'll just hang on. I'll just, you know.
No, you know, go right ahead. I'm sorry. All right, so you can compartmentalize and you can say that the flag or the anthem are symbols of government oppression or symbols of police brutality. And in the simplest form, you know, that's true. But that's not all that the flag or the anthem represent. They represent so much more that I myself am not able to compartmentalize like that. I can't do it. There's so much more good that they represent that I think you're doing a disservice by choosing that venue. I mean, which I totally understand and totally agree with the cause. I just disagree with the venue in which it's brought forth.
Right, I got you. And many people do. Many people do. But at the same time, and the NFL hasn't outlawed it, as long as the NFL allows it and there are players who believe that that's the best way to bring attention to their cause. Now, sometimes the message is lost in translation, right? Because of what Drew Brees is saying, he associates the flag with respect for the military. He associates the flag with respect for his grandfathers who fought and died with that flag on their uniforms. I shouldn't say died, who fought with that flag on their uniforms for the people who did that we just remembered on Memorial Day, who died in service to our country with that flag emblazoned across their uniforms. So for him, as you point out, it means something else. And it's he believes that he could never kneel because of what that flag represents to his family and his heritage. But to others, as you say, it represents something different. So yeah, as long as the NFL has not outlawed it, which it is not, there may very well be athletes who choose that mode of protest again moving forward. I am with you. I wouldn't do it. It's not something that I feel like I would be comfortable doing, and it wouldn't be my choice. But I also think that in this forum, on this issue, during this week, what Drew Brees said just came across as though he wasn't paying attention at all. He's over here. And everybody else is over, not everybody else, but a lot of other people are over. So his teammates and a lot of the other NFL players are on one end of the spectrum, and he's on the totally other end, just not getting it. That's how it came across. I don't think he meant it that way, but that's how it came across. Kevin, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. I hope you made that safe U-turn. You can just hang on a second, he said. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Theo is in Baltimore. Theo, welcome.
Yes, I'm listening to the conversation and the conversation I'm having. It's just, it's par for the course. It's par for the course, Amy. And I'm 70 years old, and I'm tired of the cop-out people use. I don't understand. I understand a great majority of white Americans are and have been raised under the mistaken consumption that they're superior. That's absolutely untrue. And yet at the same time, with the feeling that I evicted, that emoted just now, I have great love for Violet Luso, the Quakers that helped my people, John Brown. So there is no freaking. A lot of white people died helping us get the rights. But we had to have ours voted in. And in reference to superiority, all things at that time being equal, the Apache showed Mr. Custer on an even playing field just who was superior or who was just as good as. Everybody that you ever heard of in civil rights never said, I'm doing this. I'm marching because I'm better than those people. Our struggle was to say we deserve to be the best. And I'm going to tell you, when I look at history books, and I didn't learn a lot about myself until I got to be much older. When I look at blood plasma, which I've received, Dr. Charles Drew, great doctors like Mr. Carson, though his politics are wrong, and other people, I have no doubt God. Now, one thing I say, and I'm in Baltimore, we got two far right-wing stations, and they're always hopping on poverty. And you know what I said? I said, and this is true, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, God gave characteristics to every man, every race of people. I was a correctional officer for 10 years, Miss Lawrence. I saw black criminals, white criminals, mm-hmm. Vietnamese criminals of every type. We got people on the dark side. And one guy down here, he said, in reference to poverty, he said, well, poverty, black people, we're talking about poverty. I say, it's funny, but poverty don't cause crime. I say, have you ever heard about Jesse James? You ever heard about Billy the Kid? And in reference to what you were speaking of, about people having the ideas that they do and holding positions that they do, Mr. Breeze just delineated the in his heart of hearts, separating himself from black people. Because I'm going to tell you something. My father comes back from World War II, can't get a veteran's loan because of his skin color, yet he died for people like Mr. Breeze's grandfathers. So the flag holds very little meaning to me. I'm thankful to God that I was born in this country. But at the same time, every 4th of July, I'm told I should respect the flag. And when you think about it, Miss Lawrence, these protests out here, for one reason, what did the Sons of Liberty do in 1775? They dressed up like Indians, painted their faces, and stole King George's tea and threw it in the river. They were a bunch of thieves, but they did that to seek their freedom for their people. And you know, I learned something very disappointing. You ever heard of Johnny Carson, Miss Lawrence? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
And your mother watched him. I found out in the last year and a half, 2 years ago, I used to love watching Johnny Carson on my cable and the old programs. I found out that Johnny Carson had a son that had a black fiance, and he had a black child. He had a child by the black woman. He told his son, Johnny Carson, the great Johnny Carson, whom I grew up with when I was in college watching his late shows, he told his son he had better not marry that woman, and he'd better not include that son in any family things, or he's going to cut him off in his will. And from that point forward, I stopped watching Johnny Carson. I'm saying this. You can't change people's minds, Miss Lawrence. It all starts in the mind. And yet, at the same time, I served with white guys who became my friends in the Army. So prejudice, bias, and racism, you can pass as many laws as you can. And right as
I agree with you, Theo. Laws don't change minds and hearts, but people do. People and having conversations and getting to understand someone else's perspective changes minds and hearts. And Jesus also changes minds and hearts. But yes, there will always be racism. There will always be people who are prejudiced and discriminate based on some characteristic or another. But I don't agree with you that nothing can change.
Part of human nature for us an individual to feel that way. You got a right to hate me if you want to, and you got a choice to love me. But I'm saying, you know, as I sit here today, I see a group of people saying, I am so under them, they change and don't want me to vote because of my skin color. I sit here and I see a person who said, in the highest office, you weren't good enough to be in my apartment. And Mr. Breeze himself, he served in a position that someone who looked like me, who was just as talented, if not more so, Mr. Warren Moon, Mr. Williams for Redskins, could not have that position. And yet and still, they still got problems over the Rooney Rule. What? So the thing about it is, the basic thing, if love is what you say you have, don't do something that's against it. I have respect for the American flag, but I'm saying when there were no other venues for us to show our displeasure at what we were treating, you had two men who held their fists up at the Olympics, mm-hmm. and they were brutally put down. Mr. Kaepernick, he couldn't get a job, yet at the same time, you got guys, country guys, so to speak, on TV, and they, you know who I'm talking, it's a country show about these farmers, and he was saying, well, those people were better off when they were slaves. And
I don't follow everything that you're saying, but I'm sure that's my fault. I do have to let you go because we're at the bottom of the hour and I have to take a break and get to our update, but I appreciate your point. Your point is that to you, the flag represent one of your points is to you, the flag represents something different. It represents your family history and it represents what your experience has been. It doesn't represent the same thing to everyone. And I also agree with you that there will always be racism. It's possible. It's impossible to eradicate it, but it is possible to, for those people who are not racist. So some people are just clueless. They're not racist. They just are clueless. It's the same as discrimination against, you know, men versus women. There are, there, it's so, it's so ingrained that, you know, that women are weaker or that they're softer or that they're more emotional or that they're not supposed to do this job or not supposed to do this job that some people don't even realize it's discrimination. So there are certainly patterns and ideas and thought processes that need to change. And it doesn't mean you change everybody's heart, but it does mean that you can have a conversation where people who are not racist, who just don't get it, who don't understand what's happening or haven't seen it from someone else's perspective, that can certainly change. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'll get to some of your responses. What are you talking about this week when it comes to what's happening in our nation, our families, our friends? How are you having these conversations with them? If you have kiddos that you're having conversations with, which I can imagine can be difficult.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We just haven't acknowledged that this is really a problem, and some people don't know exactly what to say, and so they choose not to say anything for the fear of saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to really bring the conversation to the forefront so that we can get over that first part. There is a real problem with racial profiling and discrimination of African-American men in our country.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I appreciate that from Lloyd Pierce, Atlanta Hawks head coach, on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. And he had some other really powerful, thought-provoking comments. I would invite you to go and listen to that full conversation on our CBS Sports Radio website. But he used the term conversation, and he said people say nothing for fear of saying the wrong thing. And I have been in that boat. Now, I don't have the option of saying nothing, but there are times when I worry about saying the wrong thing. And I know that in Drew Brees' case, I believe that in Drew Brees' case, his heart is in the right place. This is a man who does so much work for the community of New Orleans and the surrounding towns, the whole region. And it's not just for white people. I mean, he puts his heart out there and shows his love for the people of that community, for the fans of the Saints, by the way that he participates, you know, with not just money, but with action. It's a guy who is so respected and beloved from his teammates, by his teammates of all colors. And so I believe his heart is in the right place. And I believe his question, or the question he was answering, he stuck to the answer that he's given so many times. We've heard this from Drew before. This is not a new answer, but it came across as the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's not about the military. And in this particular week, where there are protests going on all over the place because another black man was killed who didn't have to be, there was no need for it. What Drew Brees said completely missed the mark. And so it's not that people say the wrong things because they're racist. I mean, I hate that equation. Automatically, because someone says the wrong thing or, you know, comes across as tone deaf, it doesn't mean they're racist. These are hard conversations to have. But it does mean that we've got to get past that, as Coach Pierce says. You can't not have a conversation because you're worried about saying the wrong thing. Sometimes you got to dive right in. And as long as you're respectful and as long as you're willing to listen to the other people who are part of the conversation, as long as you're willing to have a conversation, I still believe that good things happen. It's not easy, but we're intelligent. We're intelligent human beings, right? I mean, we can do this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Raymond is listening in Ohio. Welcome to the show. Raymond.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Raymond.
Good morning, Amy.
Hi.
First of all, I got to tell you, I really respect you because this has not been an easy night to talk about sports. Okay, they say on 92.3 the fan here in Cleveland, a couple of guys were talking about, when was the last time we talked about a ball score or what actually happened in a game? And what I really appreciate is you made me really think about this subject. And what gets me I feel bad for Drew Brees because he gave an honest answer, and we are in a very volatile time where I believe it was just taken out of context. What I'm saying is, one, everybody is afraid of catching the virus, the coronavirus. Two, there's a bunch of people out of work. Three, we can't go down to the grocery store and buy what we used to. I was laughing a couple weeks ago where you couldn't find eggs. I couldn't find hand sanitizer.
Still.
But, yeah. But here's the crazy thing that I'm seeing that's even bigger. The city of Cleveland was actually shut down Monday and Tuesday. There were barricades keeping the people out.
Right,
because
curfews.
The mayor had to order it closed because of the rioting.
Right.
Okay. Now, yeah, okay, we talk about sports, but we've got so much other stuff going on, and I absolutely am sad that I can't listen to an Indians game anymore. And I'm walking over to the grocery store, which is three blocks away, and I see people in Indians hats, and they're sad because they can't hear a game anymore. I mean, here's the bigger point that I was thinking about everything you've talked about. Our country, the first three words that founded our country are "we the people." Okay, it's not you, it's not me, it's not them, it's us. We the people. And you hit on it so well. I am obligated to be a decent, moral, adult human being to listen to where you're coming from. One of the things I really respect you about is every time I hear you talking, almost night after night, I'm either hearing you talk about your Grammy or your mother, and that's what
I tell
that's
a lot of stories.
What Drew Brees was talking about was his grandparents. And I mean, he was just talking about what was on his mind and what his mindset was. And
I agree with you, but there's a time and place for that conversation, and it felt displaced, if that makes sense. It felt like it didn't fit with the conversation that's going on right now. And I think because so many who did protest with the kneeling of the national anthem, agree or disagree, because so many who did that were frustrated that it always came back to the military when their intent was that it wasn't about the military at all. It was about something completely different. It was about trying to get attention for a matter that they were passionate about that needed to be addressed. And then Drew Brees brings it back to the military as soon as the question is asked about kneeling during the anthem. And so it kind of missed the mark. It was like they were on completely different wavelengths, and it was an opportunity for him to be part of the conversation that is taking place, that needs to take place. And instead it went a completely different direction. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Jonathan, who's in South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
Man, I'm the first one to tell you, this is about the scariest thing you ever do. I don't know how you talk on the radio like this.
Oh, don't worry. It's just me. You're talking to me. Like you're talking to the phone to someone.
The whole nation, basically. You know?
Don't think about the nation. Think about me. And also think about the fact that you have 2 minutes and it's not a long time. Go.
Oh, okay. I better get to my point, which the only real point I have is yeah, with this racism issue, you know, it's not whites against whites, you know, against blacks. It's blacks against whites. You know, we all, you know, show racism towards each other. You know, I suggest that, you know, what I try to do, you know, open the door for people. You know, say hey to them when you walk by. if we start talking to people and trying to figure out a solution, how we can get to know the other people. You know, I got a couple of black friends, but not a whole lot. But it's not from not trying. It's just, you know, it doesn't work out sometimes.
Well, no, I got you. But I think, Jonathan, we can be intentional about it, right? We can seek having, regardless of color, we can seek out having people in our lives and having conversations with people in our lives that aren't like us. That's the part that's so important, is that even if you have to go outside your friend group, I mean, obviously our families are many times the same races that we are and the same backgrounds that we are, but we can seek people out that are not like us, that don't have the same backgrounds, that don't have the same ethnicities, that don't have the same experiences, that don't come from the same places, that don't speak the same, and we can talk to them because that makes us better. That makes us stronger. And I always come back to that. What's different about us makes us stronger as a nation if we choose to embrace it. Now, some people are afraid of what's different than them. Well, I mean, we've seen it all spring long, right? You've got this fear of the unknown with the virus. Well, we're afraid very often of things that are and people that are different than us. It doesn't have to be that way. And so I think it is important, Jonathan, you make a really good point. Thank you. That, you know, if you don't have people in your life who are different than you, well, then find some people who are different than you and have a conversation with them. It's really not that hard to do. It's, you know, it's coworkers or it's, you know, different friends, acquaintances, maybe it's neighbors. Gosh, how many of us are living in places where the neighbors are just kind of hanging out right now because there hasn't been a whole lot of other place to go? My neighbors, every afternoon, hanging out, drinking beer. Drinking beer till the sun goes down, and even after the sun goes down, because they're not working or because they're not working away from home. And so we can find people to have conversations with us that are different. I think that's a really valid point. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.